The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week with your host, Tomas Fonseca, and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate. I'm Tim Calloway. We have a very special guest for you today from Silicon Valley, Ed D. with Sanctuary Real Estate. Ed has been recognized by the Wall Street Journal and Real Trends as a top 0.08 producing realtor out of 1.4 million agents. Also recognized by Homeline as a top 5% negotiator. Five-star ranked customer service by past clients. And believe it or not, he considers some of them friends. So welcome to the show, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, no worries. Glad to have you on. What are you driving down the coastal highway there?
To be honest with you, I just finished a bike ride in Scotts Valley, California, which is near Santa Cruz in Silicon Valley area. And I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Nice, man. Yeah, I saw that you're a member of, the Trail Bike Association or a couple of associations that I'm not familiar with. But yeah, so that must be nice. Nice area to do that in as well.
Stunning. Beautiful here. Just gorgeous. Heavy redwood trees, big dark forest. Then we got the ocean. And then, of course, we have Silicon Valley with all the economy here. It's a wonderful place to live.
Yeah, very nice. Weather's great, too, as you've told me prior. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I can't. Actually, I don't need to apologize for the weather, do I? It's good here.
Yeah, you can't control everything. Yeah, just because I'm in South Florida, don't rub it in. No, but you've done very well, and we'll get into that a little bit. But why don't we just start at the beginning? I think that's the best place. How'd you get started and kind of what got you to where you are now?
Yeah, so I'll try not to take up the whole time with this answer because you're asking me my life story pretty much. But, back, I can remember all the way back to middle school, one of my buddy's fathers was in real estate and he, drove the nice car and he had the perfect hair and, the whole thing. And people really loved the guy. He was super personable. And I thought, man, that would be a great thing to do when I grow up. And I went through school. I'm locally educated, put myself through here and kind of didn't take life seriously as a lot of folks do when we're kind of young and coming up. And I actually took the real estate test way back in the 90s, the early 90s, and didn't really give it my all and didn't really pass it and kind of went into technology because that's what everybody does here in Silicon Valley. And I was a finance grad out of San Jose State. I did mergers and acquisitions for CFOs. Then I transitioned careers. I started selling enterprise software for some emerging .com companies and had a huge success doing that. Started investing in real estate and, doing income properties and, fixing properties up and selling them and just loved it. I mean, it was so much better than going in front of the board of directors every quarter and talking with them about, the team's results and the grinder here. So I got started in real estate after a very successful career in technology because I genuinely enjoyed it. I love homes, architecture, neighborhoods, cool little restaurants. I mean, all the stuff that everybody loves. Of course, it's wonderful to be a part of a community. And also, right around that time, I went through some big life changes and started cracking myself open with different trainings and programs and, self-expression, leadership development, and these different things. And I saw that there was no greater feeling in life than when I genuinely helped someone. Like just talking casually, even to a stranger or a close friend, and they're up against something, whether it's a relationship or the boss at work or traffic or whatever it is. And you're just talking, And I would say something, and I wouldn't even remember. And a couple years later, maybe our paths would cross again. And they'd say, hey, Ed, remember that conversation we had like 2 years ago? And you told me this, and I went and did that. Now I got this great job or this great family, or you helped me out. And man, I mean, the hairs stand up on my skin when I talk about that. It's, I don't know, the juice that comes from making a difference in someone else's life at that level, easing their pain, giving them access to things they already had. It's not like I'm doing anything amazing. It's just I happen to be the guy that was there that did that at the time. And man, real estate affords you the opportunity to do that every day, you know? Wow. You know, for people, this is, you know, this is a huge amount of money. This is where they live. And it starts to sound trite after a while. I know a lot of us kind of talk about these things, but to be able to make a difference in someone's life at that level, to something that means so much to them. I mean, I don't want to say this on your podcast, but I probably do this job for free. You know, I mean,
attention all sellers.
Come get it for free today.
Right.
But yeah, no, seriously, it's a wonderful, wonderful career. And that's how I found it. That's how I came to it.
Yeah. I love it. I love the story. And I got to tell you, to be brutally honest, and I don't, anybody who knows me, I don't blow smoke. I love your energy. You know, that's the big thing. You know, that's people can feel that vibe. They say, you know, dogs can feel that vibe. It's a funny because dogs, for some reason, really like me. And so people always go, oh man, you got a good vibe. That's why the dogs like you. And I'm like, I don't know if I need the dogs to like me. I need anybody else to like.
Right. Yeah.
Dogs aren't coming on my podcast.
Maybe someday, Tim. You can only hope. Yeah,
the dog podcast. That's going to be the next one. And another realtor and I were coming up with the Everybody Who's Got Four Kids podcast because we both had four kids. And I was like, wow. that'd be the next one. You can make a podcast out of anything. So that's great, man. That's a good start. I love hearing that. I love hearing that story. I have to agree with you. The day you wake up and you figure out the for others mentality, I guess, is what I call it. When you start doing for others and as opposed to so much for yourself, it's just a great feeling. You talk about the hair standing up on your arms. You're just like, man, this is energy, super energy. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, we kind of looked at the past a little bit. Let's talk about the present. I mean, you got quite a business going here. And more importantly, I'm looking, looks like you got a very powerful team behind you. Tell me about how you got your team together and, you know, what stands out with your team and are you growing your team?
Yeah, for sure. So interestingly enough, for a long time, my early days of real estate, I was just an individual agent, you know, out there working for folks and started sort of building, you know, there's teams and then there's teams, you know, there's teams of people who go out and help people to buy and sell homes. Agents like myself, kind of, I don't want to say mini agents, but people that are at varying levels of experience and you know, executing the real estate sort of transaction, as it were. Yeah. There's also people, you know, on your team who are other professionals. You know, you think about it, every home sale touches 10, 15, 20 different industries, right? We've got, you know, all the prep for sale stuff, all the construction stuff, all the house condition stuff, you know, plumbers, electricians, and rippers, right? And we've got escrow officers and title officers and loan officers and appraisers and, you know, the guy that puts my yard signs out, you know, he's got a company and a family. And so I really look at each one of those people as part of my team. And it takes a while to find good folks that give excellent service at a fair value. And so when I find those people, I hold them close and I take real good care of them. So, you know, my team mostly consists of people that are helping sort of support the work that I do on behalf of my home buyers and sellers. It's only been this year that I've started recruiting other agents to the team because I feel that I have something to give back. I have, you know, obviously an established workflow, an established process, and you know, coaching and mentoring after doing this for, as a licensed agent here coming up on 20 years and for myself over 30 now.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot to share and a lot to give to the next generation of up and comers, if you will. So that's, you know, my team mostly consists right now of people that support my efforts, and every day I'm out recruiting and talking with agents about joining the team, but I haven't hired one yet.
Okay.
So that's a little different than a lot of the folks that get recognized by Wall Street Journal and Real Trends. They often will have two or three, you know, agents that, you know, maybe they're buyer's agents or showing agents or however they choose to cut up the workflow. But my team really is in support of my clients and my efforts on their behalf.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you got to have that team mentality, right? I mean, like, everybody's got a place and everybody, you know, fills a niche, because if you don't, then you're all going different directions, right? Can't have that.
Absolutely. And there's so much, you know, a lot of people, you know, home owners, buyers and sellers of real estate feel, oh, real estate's easy. You put a sign in my yard, we sign some paperwork, and, you know, and it just goes, right? And it's anything but, right? It's a business like any other business. It's fraught with complexities. And what I've found over time is I can be very efficient. I mean, when my business started doubling every year over the last 5 or 6 years, it was because I started bringing in people to help keep me focused on customer service, contract negotiation. I spent a lot of time with lawyers understanding the game of real estate so that I can play within those bounds and learn how to tilt every advantage to my client's favor within those parameters, and having people to help with processing paperwork, you know, staging the homes, you know, showing up to fix the plumbing and whatnot, just keeps me. I mean, I'm one of these guys. I used to show up with my truck and a blower and a weed whacker and a paintbrush, and people go, "Whoa, you're not the kind of, you know, realtor like everybody else is, who just shows up with their briefcase and paperwork. You're actually helping me get my house ready, right?"
Right.
And so you can only do so much of that over time. You need to kind of farm some of those aspects out and focus on what you're good at.
Yeah, there's only so many lawns you're gonna mow in a day, right?
That's right. And while I may be good at mowing lawns, far better at helping people buy and sell real estate.
You're like, I'm the highest paid landscaper around here.
Right, exactly.
So
that's so funny.
Right. So let's talk about it. You know, something you mentioned, and you know, let's stick on that course that you haven't hired your first, you know, agent yet. And so maybe this conversation can help that as people listen, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are agents in your area and, you know, across the state. What is it that has happened thus far in talking to people in that mentality that, you know, what are you looking for? I don't mean to sound like a back page of Craigslist or something, but, you know, what is it you're looking for, you know, that makes the difference, you know, as opposed to the maybe all the ones out there that you would absolutely say, no, that doesn't fit my team?
That's a great question, Tim. You're a great interviewer. Obviously I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and in the interviews that I've had, and I've talked to some really good agents, you know, I kind of view real estate, you know, there's a lot of different levels of real estate. There's folks who are just, you know, here to, you know, process a transaction, keep things moving.
Right.
There's folks here that, you know, really pride themselves on their performance and their results, and they understand sales price, list price ratios. They understand negotiations. You know, every term in a contract is an opportunity to bend the scale one way or another, you know, give to the other team, bend towards your team. And some people are in real estate just because, you know, they watch a lot of HGTV, and I'm not trying to plug them, but, you know, that's kind of what made real estate, kind of really blew it up with the $1 million listing and you know, all the flip it home shows and all this stuff.
Right.
And so that brought a lot of agents into the business. And so when I talk to people, what I'm really looking for is you know, in real estate, we talk a lot about fiduciary, right?
Right.
You have a fiduciary responsibility to our clients. And I find that 30% of agents really understand what that means. And then even fewer actually embrace fiduciary. Like, you have to sort of be your client. You have to emulate them. What would they're making the decisions. You're providing information and maybe some guidance, but they are running the ship. And not every agent I interview gets that. And that's been a big sort of disqualifier in talking with folks. You know, it's easy in real estate to be all about me, you know, it's all about me, the agent, you know, look at this, this is all I've done and all this. And it's like, well, yeah, I understand, you know, marketing's kind of weird that way. That does get rewarded a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of a put off to some, but really none of that. What matters is, did you take care of your client? Was the client ecstatic? You know, I'm looking for a high customer satisfaction factor in the agents that I talk to. I'm looking for, you know, them embracing the client side. And then all of that inside of a business context where it's, okay, you're doing all these human things and this humanistic stuff, and that's great, and that's authentic. You know, that's got to be real from you. But then you got to put that in a context of, yeah, I still got to pay my bills, and I still got to take care of my family. So what am I going to do in 30 days? What am I going to do in 60 days? What's my year going to look like?
Yeah.
Some of that forward-thinking planning. Most of the agents I talk to, I'll say something like, well, if you're interested in joining the team, you know, we've got a nice conversation today. Can you do me a favor and send me over your 30, 60, 90-day plan? Like,
right.
What are you going to do? And it's just an immediate fall-off.
Right.
Like, people just don't want to do that work. And so... yeah, that's been a little troubling to me because, I don't know, I've always thought about it as both, right? We're doing something that authentically speaks to your soul, and it's a business too, right? Yeah. So,
it is kind of a conundrum, right? And it being a fit, and then, you know, when you said that, there's two things you said in there I want to draw from. One, about them not even being able to put together a 30, 60, 90-day plan. It's almost like it's foreign to them, to not to everybody. I don't mean to label everybody, but it's foreign to a lot of folks to even have a plan. And I'm 52 years old. I'll just lay it out there, you know, and I'm like, okay, I've not had a plan before, and I know what happened then. So right. I tell you now, if I'm going to make it to 100, which is kind of a goal, I better have a plan. Right. Just like everything in life. You don't build a house without a blueprint, so on and so forth. Right.
Yep.
But yeah. And so, I mean, I think that's super important. But you brought up one other thing, and I'm going to go ahead and dovetail off that. You were talking about 1 year, 6 months, you know, or I mean, I'm sorry, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. Tell me about, I never go out and say, hey, what's your 5 year plan? Because 5 years is just so, look how many things have happened in 2.5 years. Right. I mean, we were like this. So, but what's the next year, maybe year and a half look like for you, your team, and Sanctuary?
Yeah, I know. I love that question because I definitely have a plan. You know, over the next year, I fully intend to bring an agent into my team. Maybe two. Two is my high goal. One is my sort of, you know, medium attainable goal. That person's profile can be anything from like, hey, I've been in real estate for 2 years and I'm looking for, you know, a mentor. I'm looking to understand workflows a little better, that kind of thing. All the way up to, hey, Ed, I've been doing this longer than you, right?
Yeah.
I'm a real estate emeritus, you know, kind of a person. And somebody that I could learn from too. So I'm not really struck. I know that I want someone else in here to help me with the deals because there are a lot of them.
Right.
And there's more coming. You know, this is my fourth down cycle in real estate. And sometimes, whether it's going up like this or whether it's going down like that, you're busy. You know, you're real busy. If you know how to help people. So that's with respect to team, you know, one or two agents in the team in the next 12 months. You know, some of the other things I'm looking to do is, and this goes right along with team, is to start sort of pulling back a little bit. You know, like you, I'm also in my 50s. Mm-hmm. I've got an 8-year retirement goal. Yeah. So everything that I'm doing now is in support of that.
Yeah.
My retirement in real estate, my retirement looks a little bit different than other industries, although they all have their unique aspects. I would like to become a referral agent in my retirement, where the people that I know and the relationships I have, I don't necessarily have to sell their house for them or help them buy their next house, but I want to be able to handhold them to my trusted longtime associate within Sanctuary Real Estate, right, that I know is highly competent and is going to have these goals on and these values around fiduciary to take good care of them and to get it done without me having to be sweating it on the phone and text messages, yeah, and, you know, move paper every day and that kind of thing.
For sure.
So yeah, that's kind of my goals for the future. And another part of the goal that I didn't mention that I often think a lot of the real estate gurus that I listen to, you know, I'm a student of real estate and I always will be. And I look at everybody's, you know, if it's interesting and, you know, and try to learn from folks. One of the things that I don't see a lot of people talk about is, you know, the importance of balance. Right, mm-hmm. the importance of work-life balance. I do hear some people talk about it a little bit. I hear people also talk about authenticity and how to be, you know, truly yourself and bring your best self every day. So those are always goals for me. You know, you can see today, you know, hey Ed, it's Tuesday at, you know, 1:50 here in California, and I see your bike there in the window, and I see you sitting in your car in your Warriors gear, and you know, right, the Warriors, right, you know. And so, you know, what's up with that? Well, you know, I was up at 5 this morning, you know, responding to anything that came in after 9 last night, because I try to cut things off at 8 or 9 at night, because if you don't, you know, real estate never rests.
Right.
And, right, you know, I was working all day, and I took, you know, a couple hours here to get my health, my physical health in check, go for a bike ride in the beautiful forest, grab some lunch, and then we're back at it. So you asked me, hey, what are your goals for the next year? And I told all these stories. You know, add a couple of agents to the team. Continuous improvement is always in there. My listing presentation always getting better. My referral sources always expanding. My database always building. My assistants are just buried in lots of social media. You know, we're starting our video channel is getting going. I've got somebody helping me with that right now. So it's kind of more, better, bigger on all, yeah, the foundation, yeah, that we're building out for Sanctuary right now, but also keeping authenticity, keeping it real every day, and keeping the balance, you know, the life balance.
Nice.
We have lives, and it's harder and harder every day. Like, to be honest, calendar blocking, I'm just a huge fan of calendar blocking. I think when I meet people that don't keep their life in a calendar, especially like home sellers and buyers, they go, oh, this is going to be interesting, because,
yeah,
because real estate moves fast, and if you don't have your calendar planned out, it's hard to, right, respond.
For so, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all great advice, and even better, a great plan. So that's thanks, exciting. Man. So, excuse me, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, or someone wanted to find you, how would they find you?
Yeah, no, the best way to find me, I mean, I'll tell you straight here, you can text me. I don't know. I didn't ask you at the beginning how many folks are following your podcast right now, but if it's over 100,000, I don't know if I want to give my phone number.
Yeah, it's not that many, but I'll tell you this. People give their phone number out on a regular basis, and I haven't had anybody, you know, complain about that. But but it's good to always give your number, because somebody out there is listening, right? Somebody out there,
yeah,
is interested in what you have to say. Maybe not, yeah, my last guest, but you. And we want that people to, no, I'm not picking on my last guest. I'm just saying,
okay,
so many different types of people in different geographical areas, and, you know, but yeah, people give their number all the time. So I would recommend that.
All right, great. Well, it's 408-896-1117. Text is always fastest. And if you have, you know, any interest in buying or selling real estate, or talking with me about joining my team. I do run a global real estate practice. One of the things I didn't talk about was 7 or 8 years ago, I had a few high net worth clients that were transacting real estate across the United States and in international geographies.
Oh.
And so, although I'm not going to represent them directly in Dubai or mm-hmm. in London or Singapore, I do have partners there that I have a trusted relationship with. Wherever you are in the world, if you want to talk about real estate, just about any aspect of it, it's 408-896-1117.
Fantastic. Ed, thanks for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I look forward to catching up again, you know, and seeing where we're at maybe down the road a little bit.
Sounds great. I'll be here, Tim.
All right, Ed. Thanks so much.
Thank you.